The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show.
What was the second one you said, Suzanne? They're both so powerful. I don't want to skip either.
That by increasing your prices, you can serve your client better.
So I'm going to take the opposite because that's what we believe. Yeah. And that one's even less because you deserve to be profitable. I think it's a knee jerk response of, yeah, I'm in business. I understand profit. I got it. But that's so the fat guy that's eating sugar. He gets it. He just doesn't know how to do it. The good things come to clients who pay. That's a tougher one because I think they will fight me on that one. So let me encourage you all. So first of all, I had a car dealership and we didn't do a lot of negotiating on pricing, but the clients that came in would grind on price. And I found over hundreds of deals, the people that got quote unquote the best deal, because sometimes it was an old age unit or for whatever reason, they were price sensitive. That was their thing. And let's say they won on everything. They got the exact price they want. They were always miserable. They had the worst. So it wasn't me. Obviously, I didn't have a great experience or our company didn't have a great experience, but say we don't care about us. We only care about other people. They had the worst experience. And guess what? When they came into something that wasn't the letter of the contract and wanted, hey, do you mind doing this extra? Can you throw in some floor mats? So here's some things that would be a reasonable request, but they just ground me on price. It's really hard for me to say yes to them. The people that, so their bad experience intensifies. And the likelihood of them to give me a positive review, very low because they had a bad experience. And you could blame them. Who's the one that negotiated and gave a crappy price? I did. I could have said, no, piss off. I know that I deserve to be profitable. And I know I have to sell this car at a profit. And if that means we can't do business, then we can't do business. These tie in together. The people that come in and pay a fair price, we didn't gouge anyone or whatever. And by the way, if you follow our coaching, 20% profit, there's no universe that's gouging for crying out loud. Even if you're 25, 30 at our higher levels, we try and get you more than that. There's no such thing as gouging. As long as you are honest about the service you provide and you're honest about the price, you can charge anything you want, $1 billion a month, as long as you do what you said you were going to do and you weren't deceptive. So not only will the client have a better experience just by paying more. By the way, I've been rich and I've been poor. Poor people brag to one another how little they pay. Rich people brag to one another how much they pay. Who do you think has the better experience? Always the rich people. So when they come in and they just pay it and they go, this is, and by the way, you buy how you sell. So I don't negotiate on stuff anymore. When I go to a car dealership, I go, I'm going to buy this car. I have the money to pay whatever I want. If you take good care of me, I will come back and refer lots of people to you. If you, charge me too much, I won't refer anyone to you and I won't be back. Whatever price you say is fine. And I feel like I usually get a decent deal, even if I don't. Even if like, you're such a chump, Mike, you're so whatever. I have a phenomenal experience. And every time I come back, like, Mike, it's you. And if I need anything, they're like, of course, my good friend, Mike, what can I do for you? And my experience, all right, last thing, and I'm going to move on. I don't think you were at that dinner, Suzanne. I don't think you were. I'm even going to use a name. Screw those guys. This happened. Mastro's, one of my favorite restaurants. It's a phenomenal steakhouse. I was with two of my millionaire mastermind people. And they said, and I always just sign the check, add the tip and sign the check. Like, don't you check to see, you know, that they did it right? I'm like, no, are you supposed to? Like, oh yeah, people screw you all the time. It's like, I guess I'll do that. I don't want to get screwed. So I checked and we'd reserved a room and it's a nice restaurant. So it was probably $2,000 bill. There was a dozen or so of us there. They charged me like $60 for the room, it's not the money. I don't care. It's the fact I'm like, I bring you $2,000 or $3,000 check group of people and you charge me for it. Screw you. I don't need to do that. And then also my friends that talked about the bill that had been wrong, they billed them for drinks they didn't have. They didn't order. They didn't receive. It was a flat out bill. So the whole thing was $80. And I mentioned to him and the manager came over and there was a whole experience and the whole evening, I don't want to say it was ruined, but was tainted and it saved me the $60. Or whatever. I don't even know what it saved me. But my experience was, it was a night I still remember for a negative thing. And we do three events a year. I still remember most of those nights and they're magical and they're life-changing. I don't even look at the bill anymore. And I'm like, I would rather pay an extra $20 or whatever the thing may be and have the experience that I want. So I just want to encourage you guys. And please don't hear me saying to screw your clients or, you know, intentionally overcharge. I'm just saying it's that big of a deal. So that belief that I'm screwing people if I don't charge enough is so full of crap. Believe it or not, there's other people, if you don't charge enough, they won't even do business with you. right? If you came to my house for a cleaning and I expect it to be $400 a month for my service and you charge 200, I'm probably not going to use you because I'm like, oh, what's wrong with that? So it's not only that they'll have a better experience, some won't even use you. If they want a premium thing and you give them a non-premium price, they're just not going to do it. So that's, gosh, those are tectonics. So I just want to say them again. You have to believe, you have to, non-negotiable, have to believe you deserve a profit, and you have to know deep in your heart that profit is not hurting your client. It is not something you do to them. It is something you do for them. Watch how, let me demonstrate how this feels in real life. Some of you right now are going, well, I like this guy. I wouldn't, Suzanne, I mean, this guy's not so great, but Suzanne, she's smart. I would pay to have this woman help me put this into practice. Guess what, guys? We're super expensive. And if you come and go, hey, you want to build a $1 million business for a nickel? Best of luck. Go find a hobo to coach you. I ain't helping you. We're expensive. And sometimes you go, that's scary. It's risky. I don't know if I, then don't do it. I don't care. And guess what? We have all the clients we need. That's what that looks and feels like to the wrong people. You're like, screw that guy. I've never got good. And I'm not here to negotiate or charge a nickel to change your life. We charge a lot. For those that we want are like, yeah, I was hoping to be expensive. If I preach the way I'm preaching, he came to us for coaching, it was super cheap. One of us is full of crap and it ain't you. Right. So such a big deal. All right. Sorry. I did not mean to rant that long, Suzanne, but you said so powerful thing. I couldn't stand to watch him go by.
Mike, we could do like a 2-hour podcast on this. We're
midway through. I'm like, I think Lindsay's going to have to break it into two. Go ahead.
You went so deep. That is so powerful. Thank you. So, okay. Just before we finish up, because as a mindset coach, I got to leave people on the positive, right?
This is why we have Suzanne. I always make people feel bad. Like, why do I pay this? And then we get Suzanne like, oh, that's why.
Okay. So the good news is, we are actually in control of our thoughts once we realize what thoughts we have. So we need to pay attention. If I feel bad, what thought am I thinking? If I feel good, what thought am I thinking? So let's just quickly go back to the price increase conversation. If we can work our thoughts to a part where this is going to be good for everybody, and it's going to turn out okay. And even chances are they're going to say yes. And even if they say no, it leaves room for someone who's a better core value fit, a better client for me. If we can start thinking those thoughts, and believe me, I know it takes time to think those things over top of what you've already been thinking when you want to change, it's important you track that. So when you think that way, all of a sudden, you're starting to feel more power, more positive. And yet the action you start to take when you do have, first of all, you'll actually do the conversation. Second of all, you're like, I'm worth it. And I know this is a value to them. This is why I'm doing it. And you do it with that mindset. People are starting to say yes. And you're making more profit, and it feeds back into the brand new thoughts of, see, I knew this would be valuable. Ta-da.
Well, and so as I go around this wheel, the beliefs and thoughts are the most controllable.
Yes.
I feel like, and tell me if I'm wrong, I don't feel, I believe, which is going to lead me to feel, which guides my actions, which gets the results that I've been getting. I believe, and you said it so well, Suzanne, we have a track that we run on when we're unexamined. We just have a natural impetus and response, and depending on who we are and how we're wired and the experiences that we go through, we have a default. But I think one of the main differences between human beings and animals is animals, my dog who I rescued, who loves me, if I kicked him, which I've never done, he would either whimper and cower or bite me. But he wouldn't have, if I kicked him enough, he'd almost surely bite me. He wouldn't be able to think about it or reason out any of that stuff, right? He's a dog, and I love that dog. His name's Buddy. He's the best. But he can't, and if I kicked him enough, he would bite everybody. He would be ruined. He couldn't expand out of that. That would just be his reality that I put on him because he's a dog and I'm a human. I feel that, what a terrible example. I love that dog. I would never want to see him hurt, but dogs have you know, when he's, you know, he's fixed, but before he was fixed, when he saw another dog that was in heat, that he would just, that would be his action. He didn't really have a lot of thought. It was just that thing. So the ability to change our beliefs and thought, I think, is central to our humanness. And just like you said, Suzanne, I think changing our emotions is very difficult. But if we think certain actors, right, when they have to cry, they think about things that make them sad and they cry. So I think beliefs and thoughts are eminently changeable. Feelings and emotions, somewhat changeable. Actions are the next hardest to change, and results are the most difficult to change. So if we start at actions and results and we try and change them, our lever is very small. But if we start with our feelings and our thoughts, as opposed to fighting against the way that we're wired, we can go with it. So I believe, because the thing is, we're not just like, stop thinking bad thoughts, stop thinking bad thoughts. We can actually replace them with good thoughts. So as opposed to stop thinking how I'm not worth this. Well, we're still thinking how we're not worth it. We can intentionally and actively replace it with I'm worth it. And then once we do that enough, our feelings will change and not, you know, we'll still have those other thoughts and we'll still have those other feelings, but we can move from beliefs and thoughts that we don't control and maybe visiting happiness when we get lucky or some external stimulus happens to us, to living in beliefs and thoughts that we do control. And every now and again, we have bad beliefs and thoughts sneak in, but we are aware of it and we visit there as opposed to live there, which means overwhelmingly our feelings and emotions are more positive. So whether we make any more money or grow our company or not, we experience it as better and our family experiences it better, which makes the actions less fighting, right? Like even me, and I'm not a mindset coach, when people, if I assign them something to do and it's been a couple of weeks and I haven't done it, they want to beat themselves up with the easy way out, in my opinion. I'm just lazy. I didn't get around to it. I didn't have time. None of those are the truth. So I go, well, hold on. Let's not beat yourself up. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. Let's talk about why you didn't do it. I talk about why they didn't want to do it. And they want to kind of talk about external things. I didn't have time. My kids did this. I was sick. It's always an internal thing, right? Great. But really, and then it talks to some sort of belief that they had some sort of feeling or emotion that was negative around it, so we always run it back to beliefs or thoughts. So I guess the bow I would tie, and I'm going to let Suzanne finish us, is we all want results and we want to start and finish at 9 o'clock with our results. If you back it up to actions, most people are like, okay, I get it. I can't get the results I want with the actions I want. So I'll just start there. It's like, you can try and it will, that's why fat people remain fat. If my beliefs and feelings, emotions around food and sugar and whatever, they're good for me, maybe I can eat good for a day or a week, or if I'm very mentally tough for a month, but it's just never going to work. I have to change my feelings and emotions. And the only way I can do that is beliefs and thoughts. So is it too simplistic to go, just get your beliefs and thoughts right and trust that the feelings and emotions will follow? And again, when it comes to actions, you still need systems and processes. So you have to have some knowledge, but without, they're the dual-edged sword. I don't like the people like, just believe it into existence. You don't have to change a damn thing and your life will change. Like, that's so far from the truth. The other one is, I know everything about sugar and diet, but I don't do anything. My beliefs are so weird. That's not going to work. It's like, well, which do I need? You got to have, it's a nuclear sub if you don't turn both keys. So if you have the right beliefs and thought, and by the way, the beliefs and thoughts will get the right emotions, which the action would turn to, I didn't do that, I'm going to get some help. So am I oversimplifying to go, if we get our beliefs and thoughts right, that's like 92% of it?
That's exactly the point, Mike. It all stems from our beliefs and thoughts. Gold stars to you.
See, even me, I'm like, this is why everyone loves Suzanne. How do you not feel great talking to Suzanne? All right, anything to add or anything we need to cover before we call it, Suzanne?
That depends. How long can we go?
I've already decided we're breaking this into two. So we got a couple of minutes if you've got anything about
it. Okay. Then I want to add, let's go back to the beliefs and thoughts for a minute. Tracy and I talk a lot about monkey mind. Mm. We get thoughts that don't serve us, and we know that. The key is to become aware of what your thought is. Because otherwise it's just controlling you without you realizing it, like an invisible computer virus.
The worst.
So let's be aware, what am I thinking right now, right? Set your cell phone to go off every now and then. And when the little alarm goes off, say, what was I thinking just then? All right. If the thought doesn't serve us, it's the monkey brain trying to protect us. Right? It has its reasons. So the best way to acknowledge that is to say, thank you. Name your monkey if you like. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sid, for sharing that with me. I know you're trying to protect me. Mm-hmm. However, and replace it with the new thought, the new story. The more you catch it, the more you replace it, the more it changes and your entire life changes.
That thankfulness is so good. I think, Suzanne, our default is judgment. Stupid. I did it again. I knew I shouldn't. Look at you. You're never going to change, which is so, look at the emotions and feelings. Even those starts to no good. So I love the intentional. Thank you. I get you. You're good. You're not trying to hurt me. You know, I get you want sugar right now, and I get it'll make us feel great for 7 minutes and then we'll feel garbagey. So I love the thank you and and I love Suzanne and I, cause our thinking is like 180 degrees different. So if you get it from both sides, somewhere in there, you're going to be like that part. The way that he said, or she said, spoke to me the way it's so funny, Suzanne, we've worked together so long, and that thank you, maybe I knew, but I'd forgotten, or maybe I didn't know. So I'm going to use that immediately. Cause I get judgmental, like you're doing this, and it's exactly the opposite of what I'd coach someone else to do. Mm-hmm. I do. So I love that thankfulness of you're trying to help me. Monkey mind. I'm not mad at you. I would judge it in that stupid monkey mind. We got to kill it. And I got to feed the millionaire mind. True. You need to feed the millionaire mind. You don't have to kill the monkey mind. You just have to put them in a cage. So the way I would say it, and I like your thank you better. So start with the thank you, but I just go appreciate that, Sid. That said, the adults are talking, and you know, like my 6-year old, he's like, I want, but you guys don't know talkies. Never give your kid a talkie. T-A-K. It's this odd Mexican treat. That's like, I don't even think it's food.
Oh
yeah. Don't, they're apparently like crack cocaine for children, or at least my 6-year old. I can train him to freaking play a symphony with talkies. Like that kid loves his damn talkies. So when he screams that he wants a talkie and stuff, I don't hate him. I don't get mad at him. I'm like, the adults are talking. No, son, you can't have talkies for lunch. Like you have to have some lunch, and then you can have a reasonable amount of talkies after eating some good food. So for him, it's really painful. For me, it's easy. But when we get our own things, and this is a perfect example. We see this is we talked about, you know, the people that we accept into our program. When it is a lot of money, they get scared and it's their monkey mind screaming. You've had, and this doesn't have to be about us. Anytime you're spending money or hiring people or raising prices, anything that's scary to you, your monkey mind's trying to protect you. If you hire somebody right now, you're comfortable cleaning and you're stuck and you can't get out of it forever. And if you hire someone, there's a potential of good, but what if you can't do it? Now you have to admit to yourself that you're stuck forever. It's almost like if you go to the hospital, what if they say you do have cancer? Like your monkey mind's trying to protect you. But at some point we have to be the adult and go, I appreciate that monkey mind. Thank you. But now we're going to let the adults do the thinking, or you can give your feedback, 6-year-old Christian monkey mind, but you don't get to make the decisions. And it would be easier for me. Of course, he's very manipulative and great. He's gonna be a great salesperson at some point. We can harness that for good as opposed to talkies.
By the way, our monkey mind is very manipulative too.
So manipulative. Yeah. And I just somehow turned my poor little sweet 6-year-old into a monkey mind. And I'm kicking my dog. This episode is taking a bad turn.
Don't worry. I'll fix it.
Yeah. Suzanne will make everything okay. So I love that acknowledging of it and go, that's fine. You can have an opinion. You just don't get a vote at the table, right? When we go to make a decision, the adults are going to have to talk. The monkey's a 6-year-old monkey. He doesn't know. He just wants what he wants. And that's all he knows. And his motives aren't. My little guy doesn't understand health, and he's only this big, and it's not good for him. And it's not real food and blah, 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 blah. He just wants talkies because he loves them. Why would daddy keep talkies from me? Right? So our monkey mind just wants what we want because we love it. And why would our millionaire mind keep that from us? Well, our millionaire mind's going to get a different result. So I just want to encourage you guys. I love that forgiveness part, but you got to build this. I should say you got to. I would encourage you to have a belief that it is enjoyable. You're going to choose to enjoy the feeling of leaning into something different, whether it's spending money on yourself in a good way, right? You have to kind of, that's where the logic comes in. Hiring employees, again, in a good way, once you're charging enough and you've got all the systems in place. To acknowledge that monkey mind and just be like, I appreciate that. Thank you. You're trying to protect me. But now the adults are going to kind of make the decision. And that feeling we get, that's the last thing we'll end with, because I want your thoughts on that, Suzanne. That feeling oftentimes is at odds. So when I tell my body no for sugar, it feels in the moment really bad, like I've made a horrible decision. Long term, I know it's going to feel great. When I'm raising prices, hiring, investing myself, doing some whatever coaching that you know you should be doing, it doesn't, your body tricks you with telling you, it gives you panic, it gives you fear, it pulls out all this stuff that feel real at the moment, but they do not serve us. So when we're staring down the barrel of our monkey mind being why, and my six-year-old can manipulate my heartstrings, but he can only do it from the outside. Once the monkey mind's on the inside, holy crap, he's got, you know, my six-year-old can make me have heartstrings. He can make me fear. But my monkey inside, he can control all the emotional levers. How do I fight against that?
By becoming aware. Simply by becoming aware of what is the thought. What is your monkey saying to you? What is Sid saying to you? And then work it through.
So if I want sugar and my body's put me through withdrawals, the thought is, it's going to feel like this forever. I'll always be miserable. It is better to give in now and make this frustration go away than to forever feel this way. Once I recognize that, a thought I could replace it with would be, it's not going to feel this way forever. I'll probably go through this pang or this withdrawal for 12 minutes and then I'll be fine. And I want to feel great forever, not for now. When it comes to hiring people, they're all going to quit. They're going to steal stuff. You're going to look stupid. All your friends, you could fine. When you recognize it could be, if I don't hire people, I'm going to be a janitor or a house cleaner for the rest of my damn life. Guaranteed. There's no way out. So even if this is scary and takes some stuff, I got to do something different. Is that a fair example?
That's a brilliant walkthrough, right?
Yeah. If I did something good, let's end on that.
It's a brilliant walkthrough. Have a look. So for everybody, all of us, we all have to do it. Just take a look at what we're thinking. Take a look at any results you get, any actions you're taking or not taking, any emotions you're feeling, and decide, do I like it? If you like it, keep on doing it. If you don't like it, let's just go back and have a look. What am I thinking? Boom.
My favorite part of Suzanne is her just lack of judgment, especially about ourselves. So it's not just that's bad, I should stop it. It's like, do I like how it's the results I'm getting? And if not, I'll just do something different. It just makes it feel so light and free. When we're like, stop it, you're doing this, you did it again. It's so heavy and hard to carry. But when it's just like, do I like that feeling? No. All right. Well, what thought got that? Well, I'll just change that thought. No big deal.
It gives us back our choice.
Yeah. Which is a little scary because if we make the choice, we got to take the consequences, but different. Yeah, we've covered that. All right, guys, gals, many of you at this point, I'm sure are going, oh, well, I need this in my life. So tens of thousands of listeners and hundreds of calls per month, we'll accept a dozen or so clients. So, and we ain't cheap. That said, there are a dozen or so people whose lives we want to change on any given month. If you would like our help, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. There's nothing for sale, but you can start with the free on-demand training, which will give you the 5 shifts that you need to go. You match those 5 shifts with the content you've heard here. That's a heck of a powerhouse. And there'll be a call to action at the end of that of the next step. And spoiler, that's free too. So it's not free. All this stuff costs changing your beliefs and thoughts. And if your beliefs and thoughts are, I don't want to do anything scary outside of my comfort zone, this isn't for you. Just keep listening to podcasts, have fun, and you'll probably get the same results, even though the podcast might be entertaining. If your belief is, I got to do something different, and it's I want a massively different result, so I've got to take a massively different action, this is your, again, that we try and make it super easy, right? Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. It's free. There's no, we've had no fatalities on the website that I'm aware of. Go through the on-demand training. There'll be an opportunity to talk to one of the coaches. We're recording this in April, May?
May.
Golly, I should pay attention to stuff like that. This is one of the very few times I'm taking those calls myself. So go to growmycleaningcompany.com, check it out there. And whether we end up, I ever get to talk to you one-on-one or not, this concept of changing the beliefs first, letting that roll into the feelings, emotions, that changing your actions and then getting results is so wildly powerful. I listened to this episode a couple times. All right, Clean Nation. Thanks for hanging with us. Talk soon.
Bye.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.